Welcome to Bridge Community Church. At The Bridge, we are starting off this year with an emphasis on growing together. This week, Craig Carter continues to encourage us to become a part of a smaller group of believers with whom we can share, pray, care, and learn. From Acts 2, we see how the early church lived out this life of community.
Hugh, normally I'm the guy that when Todd's gone, I'm preaching. So the fact that I'm able to preach while he's here, I'm moving on up. I'm really excited about this to share a passion with you guys this morning. And as Todd shared, we've got our small group fair that's going to be happening after church, and it's really something that I have a passion for of small groups and discipleship and us as a church coming together and loving one another and knowing each other and investing in each other's lives. And I wanted to start out this morning with a passion of mine, another passion of mine from my youth, and it's the game of golf. And I grew up a lot of my life around golf. From when I was a little kid, I started playing golf. As I grew up, I got a job at the golf course that we used to play at. I was the guy, I don't know if everyone's been to a driving range. You know the guy who drives the cart in that cage that you try and hit? I was that guy. I had that role. I ended up working on carts, and I would take people's clubs out of their bags, and I would clean the clubs all the way up to working in the pro shop. I worked in the pro shop, and even after college and grad school, I lived in St. Louis, and I got a job on a golf course out there so I could play golf for free. It was really a passion of mine. And it started when I was really young, and it started because of these guys right here. I don't know if any of you are golf fans or recognize these guys. Actually, they look a lot older than when I recognized them. You know, when I was playing, I realized that in preparing this, that the 1980s was a long time ago, all of a sudden. This picture, I think it's like from the 2000s, and we have Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, and actually Arnold Palmer has passed away within the past few years. But when I was a kid, especially in my family, whenever there was like a family event or gathering, at some point during the day, all the men would find themselves around a TV to watch these guys play golf. They were like the big three of golf back in the day. There's no Tiger Woods in this picture. Tiger Woods is about my age, so I didn't really get into Tiger Woods until later. But it was these guys and that game, watching it on TV, that gave me a passion for the game. But as far as playing golf and becoming a golf player and growing in the sport, watching them on TV really only would take you so far. And so when I was little, I kind of started talking to my dad. I was like, you know, Dad, I'd really love to start learning to play golf. And so what he did is he signed me up for this thing called golf camp. And maybe you guys might know camps in the summer. I would go to golf camp, and I'd bring my little bag of clubs, and I would go, and there'd be a bunch of other kids, and we would sit on the driving range, and the pro would teach us. He'd teach us how to hold the club. He'd teach us how to swing. He would teach us the rules of the game and the etiquette of the game. And so more as I went in golf camp, and I was with a smaller group of people, and having a teacher teach me to learn, I learned more and more about the game. And I got to a point where I still wanted to grow. I still wanted to learn to play more. And it came to a point where the greatest time of learning the game and getting connected to the game was getting out on the course. And for me in particular, getting out on the course and playing golf with my dad. And my dad is a phenomenal golfer. My dad is 84 years old, and he consistently shoots under his age. If you don't know anything about golf, the amount of golfers that can shoot under 80 is like 2%. And my dad, he does that pretty consistently. And actually, in my entire golf playing days, I beat my dad once. And it consisted of him having a really bad round and me having a really good round. But really growing in the game and spending time with my dad on the course, because he knew me. You know, I was his son. He would walk me through how to take shots. He would walk me through when to use a certain club or how to use the club. But more importantly during that time, as I was spending those hours on the golf course with my father, I learned a lot about life too. I learned from watching my dad, because you know, a lot of times when you play golf and you play with other golfers, when they hit bad shots, They say and do things that people shouldn't say and do. There's a lot of foul language on the golf course. My dad had this friend he would play golf with. They used to call him the helicopter pilot. Because when he would miss a shot, he would take his club and he would just wing it through the air, spinning through the air. But I would watch with my dad how he would play and how he would respond to hitting a bad shot. He would get frustrated too. He would get upset when he would play, but he'd handle himself different. And when we played with other people, because sometimes when you play on the golf course, you play with people that you don't know. And the way that he respected other people, no matter how well or how bad they played on the course, he showed a lot of respect. And that time that we had together, you know, sitting and waiting for the next shot, things about life came up and we started to talk about life and we connected more and more. And there was just such a depth in my growth as a person, as a golfer in life, having that time one-on-one with him. And I don't know if you guys have something similar. It might not be the game of golf. It might not be with your father. But have you had at some point in your life a person that invested in you and took time to know you and took time to invest in you and teach you? Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was grandma in the kitchen teaching you to bake an apple pie. And I have a general rule. If someone comes to me and they say, hey, this is my grandmother's recipe, one thing that I do, I eat it. Because you know, I don't care if you're not hungry, if you're on a diet, if you're gluten-free, whatever, because you know that there was a lot of passion that went into that meal, that went into that pie or that whatever that person was baking. That time that grandma spent with that child when he or she was little, building that pie, creating that pie, investing that time. We learn so much and we grow so much when we walk closely with one another. And I think the same thing is actually very true with how things work here at church. And I have this image here of a funnel. And I feel like this is how we walk through life in church. We kind of get thrown in, or we throw ourselves into this funnel when we connect with church. More often than not, the first thing that we do is come to church. We get invited by someone. They say, hey, you should join me in church on Sunday morning. Or parents take us to church. And we come to church and we're all kind of in this big mix of people. And we're like, we kind of decide how we feel about it. Hey, that worship, that guy Uli, he's really cool. And I've never heard worship music played that way and with such passion. And I really like it. And the pastor, Pastor Todd, wow, I feel like he's talking directly to me when he shares God's word. I've never heard it quite that way. And he tells some funny jokes every once in a while too. I like that about him. And then we kind of make a decision. We're like, you know, I think this church, we actually heard it today, this church is where I belong. And this is my home church. And we kind of get plugged in and we get connected to the church. And church, at that phase, it's kind of like watching on TV, isn't it? Like I was watching those pro golfers and you're watching Todd. It's kind of like you're watching on TV. You're learning. And then you know what? I want to take it to the next level. I want to get plugged into something a little bit more at church. And we find out what's going on at the bridge. We find out what's going on at church and we have our small groups. And then we get plugged into small groups and we get connected with people. And we build community when you find friends. And now it's not watching on TV. Now we're talking about each other and discussing and pressing into each other's lives and sharing with each other. And we grow in our small groups as well. And then sometimes even further than that, there's someone in our group that we really connect with. And we say, hey, would you be interested in getting together for coffee? I'd love just to chat about life with you. And you get together with someone regularly and you share what's going on in your life. Those deep things that are in your life that you're really not comfortable. You're not going to stand up in front of church and share them. And even in your small group, you might feel a little bit uncomfortable to share those. But when you get together with that friend and you share your struggles in life, and you share things that are challenging. Challenges in your walk with the Lord and in your faith. And that person prays for you and counsels you. And you counsel them and you pray for them. And you make this connection. That's discipleship. Getting together one-on-one and encouraging each other and strengthening each other. And this is a great model that we come to church and we get plugged in more and more to things. But my challenge for you today, church, and my thought and what I've been praying through, I think we're doing it wrong. I think this model is wrong. And that's where I want to walk with you today. I want to walk you through some of God's word, and I want to challenge us in our thinking about how we do church. And so before I do that, I'd love to just open us up in prayer and ask God to really open our hearts and minds to his word. So let's take a minute to pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with your son, Lord. We thank you of just the testimonies this morning of those being baptized and how you've intervened and interceded in their lives, Lord, where they found peace and comfort in Jesus Christ, Lord. And as we pray and as we discuss this morning of church and the idea of connecting with one another outside of Sunday morning, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would reveal to us your word, that you'd speak to each one of us in our own hearts of what you have for us here at the Bridge, Sunday morning and throughout the week, Lord. We ask that you'd open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to what you're speaking to us about small groups and discipleship, Lord. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, well, that was a bold statement. That we're doing church long. Let's bring that funnel back up there. So why I'm challenged by this thought of this funnel is how it starts out is church. And so now we all get invited to church. And if I were now to take a survey, a show of hands, and you don't need to show your hands, and I would say, okay, who of you here is a regular attender of church? I would imagine that everybody here would be raising their hand. Of course, well, you're here regularly. And as we go down the funnel, I would say, okay, how many of you guys are plugged into a small group, something outside of Sunday morning where you're connecting with others, you're discussing the Bible, you're just investing in each other's lives in a small group relationship? Okay, raise your hands. It probably wouldn't be the full church. And actually, statistically, it's somewhere between 40 and 50%. And if we continue down the funnel and I say, well, how many of you guys are meeting with someone, not counting your spouse, but someone, a guy meeting with another guy and a woman meeting with another woman, and you're meeting with them regularly to connect with them throughout the week, to pray with them, to grow with them in your walk with the Lord, how many of you are in that kind of relationship? It would be a lot less, right? Not many of us are in that relationship. But as I shared about my walk with playing golf with my dad, the sweetest part, the most growth, where I was able to connect, where I was able to grow as a person, was in that one-on-one time. So as we do as a church, we take the best part, the sweetest part of Christian community, the sweetest part of walking with one another in faith in Christ, and we put it at the bottom of our funnel. Why are we doing that? Why are we making that choice to put it at the bottom? Well, I want to take a look at some scripture and walk through scripture and see what the early church looked like. So this is from Acts 2:42 through 47. And I love this scripture. And this is a lot of where my passion for small groups and discipleships comes from. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I'd like to take a look at this from a 10,000 foot view. What does church look like when it looks like that? Can't you see the connection between people? It was more than just Sunday morning of hearing a teaching, but people were plugged into each other's lives. And what I want to do is I want to pull out pieces of this scripture to see what was valued here, what was important in this church. And the first thing is teaching. They said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And they continue to meet together in the temple courts. And that's valuable. And when I show you that funnel and I say, well, church and discipleship, well, maybe they're in the wrong place in the funnel. I'm not discounting teaching God's word because we really can't do anything without God's word. We need that as a part of who we are as followers of Christ. And they had that portion, the teaching, that Bible study. But what I found that was interesting, the temple courts, meeting together in the temple courts. I like the fact that it was continued. It wasn't Sunday morning. They were there regularly getting together. But what that I found was interesting is it's possible that it looked like this, that they gathered together in church and they heard a teaching. The Zebedee brothers, they led worship. Peter brought the word, that sort of thing. They got together, they collected a large group of people. But what I'm finding in scripture is when you look at the temple courts, the temple was huge. It was very large. It was less of like a building and more of like a complex. And if you do your cubit conversion, as you can see in scripture, the length, the temple was probably acres and acres of land. So it was a very, very large place where people connected. And so in the temple courts, they speculate that it would probably be around 10,000 people that were gathered together. So to think, is it possible that the apostles were standing up in front of 10,000 people, everybody was getting really, really quiet, and they were sharing God's word, yelling really loudly? That is possible. That is possible. But also, there were other rituals and other things happening at the temple, so that's maybe less likely. And what's more probable is that people were gathering in smaller numbers, in smaller groups, and hearing teachings in different areas around the temple. So already they were saying, let's break up and get together and let's learn together about the word of God. And so an important factor, teaching, Bible study that we need to have in our church, which I know that we do. And the next thing, what else did we have there? Fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. And what I like here, when we talk about fellowship, and we have fellowship within our church. Actually, the Bridge is very good at fellowship. We have a lot of fun events that happen. We have a time after church gathering together as a church body. But what I like, it sounds like here in the breaking of bread, it sounds like, again, it wasn't this big group of people that were getting together, but they were having time together over a meal. They were getting together in each other's homes. They were collectively having smaller communities within the church and investing time in each other to get to know each other, to spend time together. Fellowship, Bible study and teaching, fellowship, and what's next? Prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer and praising God. If we want to connect with one another in Christ, we need to be connected to Christ. And I believe that as we spend time in God's word and we spend time talking with him, loving on him, hearing his voice, it empowers us to invest in each other. I know for me personally, I'm not the best person in communicating, like encouraging things to other people. My wife could testify to that. I am not a words of affirmation. But there is something about when I sit down with someone and I say, can I pray for you? I don't know what I'm praying for. I don't have to know. Sometimes they'll tell me, pray for this. Other times I just pray. And I ask God, like in my heart, Lord, give me words for this person that I can encourage them and bless them. And God does amazing things through that. When I'm praying, I'm encouraging, I'm blessing, I'm challenging, all in one. And the Lord is able to speak through me in prayer. And so in order for us to get tighter as a community and to love on one another and be closer to one another, connecting with God in prayer and connecting with each other in prayer. Amen? And lastly, so we've got Bible study, we've got fellowship, prayer, discipleship. And one thing that's kind of like the overarching vision I see of this Acts 2:42 church is the connectedness of the church, of people being together and being connected together. So all the believers were together and had everything in common. And I don't believe that was like physical possessions or they were physically together in common, but they had a sound heart and a sound mind for Jesus. And there was a commonality in that, and it drew people closer to each other. It connected them. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together. How I envision this is they went to the temple courts, they heard the teachings of the apostles, and they said, this is awesome, this is great, come over to my house. Let's have lunch. Let's hang out. Let's continue to talk. How did that impact your life? How did that teaching impact you? Let's support one another and let's pray for one another. And lastly, it says they gave to anyone who had need. And I like this one. I feel like the Lord really spoke to me through this one because I believe that we are a giving church. And where God challenged me in this one is, are we giving to a need? Are we giving to each other's needs? How do we know? how do we know someone's need unless we know that person? And for those of us who have ever been hurt by someone in a church, who have ever had someone try and speak into their life and been hurt by it or burned by it, and then it impacted the way that they connected with God, I believe that those times, those hurts, are a misalignment between the gift and the need. And I think that happens often. I think when we start to connect with others, it gets a little bit scary. And sometimes even people in church have the best of intentions. And maybe we're connecting with someone and we say, you know what, I've got this area I'm struggling with in my life. And I'm going to try and be vulnerable and I'm going to share it with this person. And I'm going to share it and say, you know what, I'm really struggling in this area of life. And the person with the best of their intentions will come back and they might say something like, well, you just need to trust God more. You need to have more faith. And then that person's like, well, great. Now I feel even worse. I'm struggling with an issue, and now you're telling me I don't trust God. Well, that's great. Because that we weren't speaking to the need. We were trying to give. We were trying to give to another person, but we didn't really know that need. And it works the other way, too. Does anybody have a friend out there that they just love who always kind of just does the wrong thing? And you love them for it, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's just him. That's just his way. And you love them. And it's because you know their heart. And so you know the heart of the giver as well as knowing the heart of the received. And as a church, when we start to know each other, when we start to get into each other's lives and we start to connect, those connections happen because we know each other. And so those are the four things I think are important for us as a church: the Bible study, the teaching, the time of fellowship, the prayer, and discipleship, getting together in each other's lives. So I want to ask, so what do we do? What does it look like? And let's go to our next piece of scripture. And this is from Jesus. Very, very simple, and I like the simplicity of this verse right here. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. Why? Because I know them. Because I know them. And it's interesting, too, as a church, when we talk about our faith and we talk about being involved in church, what do we often say? It's not about the religion, it's about the relationship. That's here. We know them. So to love your Lord, your Savior with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's about relationship. And then the second part there says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that means giving to the needy. And that means mowing my neighbor's lawn and shoveling their driveway and loving them. Well, shouldn't that relationship also carry to that part as well? Loving one another and building that relationship so we know each other. And Jesus said, then what does he say then? And they follow me. They follow me. And I love the follow me, because we see that a lot in scripture, don't we? He calls the fisherman, he says, follow me. He tells the rich young ruler, sell all your possessions and follow me. Very simple command. And Jesus could have said, hey, fisherman, there's some great teachings happening down at the temple. You should go check those out. Have a nice day. He could say, hey, rich young ruler, you know what? Go sell your possessions. Here's some really good scripture that you should study. It's been nice chatting with you. But no, Jesus says, come with me, follow me. And that follow me is, yes, follow him as Lord and Savior, but also follow him in the way that he lives, the way that he loves, the way that he is with others, right? Amen? So then now, what does our church look like? Go to the next slide. Instead of dumping people down a funnel, how about we build a mountain? How about we start with a wide base and a solid foundation of fellowship? How about when you come in contact with someone, when you meet someone who's open to the gospel and is a place where they're looking for Christ, they're looking for something in life, instead of saying, hey, you should come to my church, it's really cool, which is really cool. You say, how about we get together for a cup of coffee and we just chat? And you get together with them that one time and, hey, this is really cool. Would you be willing to get together with me next week? And that next week you get together with them and you chat a little bit more. How's life going? And they start to share their life and they're like, hey, is it all right if I pray for you? And you connect with them through prayer and you continue to meet with them. And maybe they come to a place where they finally find Christ. And you say, you know what? I love that we're doing this. I've actually got a lot of friends who they get together every week and they talk about the Bible and they talk about their lives. And they encourage one another, and they pray for one another. You should come to my small group. And you get them, and they're coming now weekly to your small group, and they're looking, and they're finding out that you're not weird. There's actually other people who like to pray for people and like to invest in people's lives, and there's a community, and this is a real thing. that people connect and love one another. And then they come to a point and you say, let's go to church. But interesting now, why are they coming to church? Are they coming to church to figure it out? Well, I want to see if that pastor preaches the way that I like. Or I want to see if that worship band, if I connect with the music. No, they're not coming there for that reason. They're coming there because that's where their friends are. And they're coming there for a reason, not to figure something out or figure God out. They come to church on Sunday morning now, after this, after connecting in discipleship. They're getting filled during the week in their time of discipleship. They're connecting with God's word and they're having people support them and pray for them in their small group. So they come to church for one reason. They come to church to worship their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and celebrate who he is. And that's why they're here. Amen? Church, do you think that this could work? That we could be a church in our small groups of getting together and getting into each other's lives and knowing each other and investing each other and spending time with each other so that we can grow in our walk with the Lord? Do you think it can happen? I do. So church, I think that's where we're going to be going with our small groups. We want to look at our small groups as having a vision for those four components. Where a lot of times traditionally when we do small groups, a lot of you might think of a Bible study. But we want to have all of those components in our small group of a Bible study, a time of fellowship, making sure we're investing in prayer and that we're connecting with each other one-on-one in our groups in life. So I think that's a vision, my passion for where we can go as a church. And I found an interesting statistic. I mentioned before small groups, it's usually about 40 to 50% of people are involved in small groups in a church. There is a church, I think it's Saddleback Church, that their attendance in small group is 130%. So they actually have more people going to their small groups than they have coming to church. And I say amen to that because it means we're connecting as a community of believers. So I just want to for us to pray on that. And let me close us in prayer real quick and just see if God can just light the fire for us in connecting with one another. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we are truly a fellowship of believers. Just like we saw in the early church, Lord. And there is an opportunity. There is an open door for us to not just come to church on Sunday morning, but to really be a part of each other's lives, to knowing what's going on in each other's life, Lord, to support one another, to encourage one another, to challenge one another. Lord, we pray that you would just open those doors in our hearts, Lord, that you would allow us to become vulnerable to sharing who we truly are with each other, so it might allow them to be more vulnerable as well. That we can serve and love and pray for one another, Lord. And help each of us, Lord, here this morning, find a place for us in this church, Lord. Find a small group, find a person, find a friend, find a community of believers where we can live life together, Lord. Lord, I believe that's your will. That's your will for us here at the Bridge, Lord. And we say yes and amen to your will. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from The Bridge Community Church. At The Bridge, we are committed to fulfilling God's vision for our families, His church, and the community of Bristol. We are here to help you realize His vision for you. You can call us at 860-583-8352, visit us on the web at bridgetochrist.com, or worship with us at 43 School Street in Bristol, Connecticut. Our Sunday worship starts at 10:30 a.m. Join us as we help each other build our bridge to Christ.